There's some people who need no introduction, but they get them anyway to remind us of the span of their careers.
Space, the final frontier.
Over the past half century, the wild range of roles played by William Shatner includes Captain Kirk, of course, a blowhard attorney named Denny Crane.
In the 20 minutes it took the ambulance to reach Mary Finnerty's crushed head, your client took in $10 million.
And a man who can get you a deal.
You'll need a hotel tonight.
We don't have time to bid.
You don't have to bid. At Priceline, you can choose from thousands of hotels on sale every day.
And now, for the first time since John F. Kennedy was in the White House and James T. Kirk was just a glint in Gene Roddenberry's eye, William Shatner returns to Broadway and the stage.
And every night, Bob would come in with his motorcycle and into the garage below my bedroom.
He talks about his own wild ride from Montreal to playing Shakespeare at Stratford and on to outer space in Hollywood. In a new one-man show, Shatner's World, We Just Live in It.
I was driving the motorcycle around the city of Montreal all night long. I drove the motorcycle night after night after night. I felt the wind on my face.
We got a sneak preview at a recent rehearsal. And here's his story about sneaking out in his neighbor's motorcycle for nightly joyrides.
I go down to the garage. The motorcycle is gone. The next day, I see Bob. I said, Bob, where's your motorcycle? And he said, I sold it. The gas mileage was so bad.
William Shatner joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. That was put so well, I don't have to say anything about myself during this interview.
Well, let's try it anyway, okay?
All right.
You did a bunch of Broadway shows in the late 50s and early 60s. Including World of Susie Wong, A Shot in the Dark. What roles did you play on stage when you were at the Stratford Festival?
Golly, I played in the Chorus of Oedipus. I played comedies and dramas. My big claim to fame during the 3 years I was at Stratford was understudying Henry V and going on without any rehearsal. And I tell that story in the show whereby Tyrone Guthrie, a great English director of that time, said to me, I was understudying Chris Plummer, and he said, Plummer is ill, can you go on? And I had never rehearsed the part, never spoken the part out loud, and I went on.
Mm. And it was a success.
Yes.
You didn't open your mouth and nothing came out.
No. It sometimes felt like that.
You just made the point. You go back a long way with Christopher Plummer.
I do. In fact, I go further back than that. I go back to early radio at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Montreal. So we've had our history together. He's a buddy of mine now, but my memory of him during those early years was one of total respect and admiration. Of course, he's become one of our great actors.
Mm. So by the time you did Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, was that part of the attraction for you of getting him on board?
Absolutely. He comes aboard as the leading villain on Star Trek VI, and I went from being his understudy to being his captain.
I offer a toast. The Undiscovered Country.
The Undiscovered Country.
And he gets one of the great, as far as I'm concerned, movie lines of all time.
Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1.
You have not experienced Shakespeare until you have read him in the original Klingon.
That actually is a great line, and I worship great lines.
Yeah. You I gather, pretty open about having tinnitus.
Right. I have tinnitus. I got it, 10, 15 years ago. It drove me mad. I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Can I ask you to help us understand what it sounds like, what it feels like?
Turn on a television set without the station. A lot of people have different kinds of sound, but the most common, and mine, is that hiss static, and that's what it's like. And during the time I was going to the doctor, they attempted to reach the nature of the sound. So they had an instrument that played all kinds of hissing and all kinds of, so they tweaked the machine until they reached me. And when they reached the same timbre and tone of my sound, I broke into tears. Somebody had hacked their way through this jungle of sound where I was totally alone in my agony, and somebody had reached me. It just moved me to tears.
Well, thank you for talking about that.
Well, if it can help somebody else, and a lot of people have it, a lot of returning veterans have it. It's caused by a number of things, age being one of them, medication, and mostly traumatic sound. A lot of sound engineers have it. The cilia in your inner ear die, some of it dies, and this code of silence that you had when you were born is broken, and so it's the brain's activity. If one person who's listening to this can be helped by saying, don't despair, I promise you, eventually you won't hear it. It won't go away, but you won't hear it.
Was there ever a moment, or, I don't know, 10 moments, when you thought you might not make it in show business?
Always. I'm thinking here in New York, what happens if I fail? Now, I have every expectation that won't happen. But always the inculcation of the actor is, what happens if I fail? What happens if they don't like me? And that goads every actor. Getting that audience approval is always a question mark, and it's always that flag that flutters in front of you.
But you see it as a motivational tool?
It goads you. Mm-hmm. It goads you and worries you and pricks you. And there's never a restful moment until all the elements are put together and the audience is applauding and approving.
Mr. Shatner, can you say something for us in your fluent Esperanto?
Yes. Cognisla pinto confrari. That translates, is this interview at an end?
You saw that coming, didn't you? Is that truly Esperanto? Forgive me for not knowing.
It's nonsense syllables, but I maintain it is Esperanto.
We should explain.
I did a movie in Esperanto.
Kaj lasem en montri al vi, kiel vi povas unuigatai.
It was designed to be the language, the universal language. It had Greek, Latin, and German words. Mm-hmm. So that it had the roots of many, many of the existing languages. Everybody could learn to speak it, and so you wouldn't need translators, and you could speak Esperanto to each other. It'd be less misunderstanding. It didn't quite work.
That we should explain so people can find it. It's a 1966 film called Incubus.
Yes.
Kind of a horror film. I've seen clips.
Yeah, it was kind of a horror film. Or else it was a horrible film. I'm not quite.
Incubus, the rediscovered creepy cult classic packed with gorgeous blondes, satanic sacrifices, resurrection of the dead, William Shatner.
You know, it occurs to me just while I'm sitting here and we were conversing in Esperanto, can you speak Klingon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Oh, yes. I'm fluent. And when I say fluent, it means I spit a lot.
it's a great spitter's language,
right,
isn't it?
It's a spitter language.
William Shatner. In any language, he's back on Broadway for the first time in 50 years. His one-man show, Shatner's World, We Just Live in It. The show runs at the Music Box Theater until March 4th. Thanks so much, Mr. Shatner.
Thank you for talking to me.
And this is Our World, NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Claudine Abade, produced by Peter Breslow, Tom Bullock, Ned Wharton, Elaine Heinzman, Gemma Waters, Hansi Lo Wang, Chris Benderev, Tom Dreisbach, Sam Collins, and Andrew Fishman. Think I can do the rest of these in Esperanto? All right, Barry Hardiman and Jeff Bennett edit our program. Our technical director is Burke Hahn. I don't care whatever he says. Our librarian is Keith Molesky. Our web producer, Melissa Goh. Our senior editor is Sarah Gilbert. Sarah Lucy Oliver is our supervising producer. And the senior supervising producer of Weekend Edition is Bridget Kelly. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.